Genius of Creation, Chapter 15, The Book of the Generations of Adam, Genesis Chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. Genesis 5, verses 1 and 2. Note once again that man and woman were both created, bara, in the image and likeness of God on the same day, the 6th. They were both surnamed Adam, so that to this day a wife takes the name of her husband, because they are to be one flesh, as Genesis 2 verse 24 says. But then we notice something different in this genealogy to what has gone before. For the first time, ages are given, and given in years, which are also mentioned for the first time. No years were mentioned in connection with Cain's line. These ages are considerably longer than anything that could possibly be expected today. Perhaps the ages in Cain's line tended to be shorter due to sin. We do not know. What we do know is that we are marked by the inroads of 6,000 years of sin. Our bodies have degenerated so much that our life expectancy is very short. This is evolution in reverse. If evolution were true, our life expectancy should have increased, not diminished. And then we noticed that Cain's line began with Cain. It does not start with Adam. This fact immediately marks out Adam's line through Seth as something different, a line that is quite special in God's purpose with man. Furthermore, in Adam's line, neither Cain nor Abel are mentioned. Abel was murdered before he had children, and it seems that Cain's line died out, certainly at the flood, if not before. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth, we read in verse 3. We might miss the severity of the effects of the fall here if we do not read carefully. Adam was to reproduce and bear children in God's image and likeness. This was no longer possible. How tellingly God's record says that Seth was in the image, not of God, but of Adam his father. Another of the changes that sin has wrought in mankind. So Seth was born in Adam's own likeness, or mental capacity, after his image. He had, therefore, the capacity to grasp spiritual concepts and so develop godly thoughts and ways, but also was subject to all the inconvenient thoughts and temptations which we know only too well. Like Seth, we are all born with the motions of sins in us. Consequently, resisting temptation is a continuous struggle, unless we just surrender to sin and lead an empty and hopeless life, till death removes us from this suffering world. By God's word, we have his invitation to be reborn by baptism in God's image. It is our personal choice whether we will accept this invitation or not. It is God's work with us to fully bring it about. We are not told how old Adam was when Eve bore Cain and Abel, but we are told that Adam was 130 years old when Seth was born, and that he had sons and daughters. How else could Cain and Seth marry if they did not marry their sisters? At that early stage, inbreeding would not have the consequences that would follow later as our bodies deteriorated due to sin. Adam died at 930 years. 8 times in the genealogy recorded in chapter 5 we read, "And he died." Though men live so much longer than we do today, none lived forever. Death had overtaken all the posterity of Adam, and still does. Seth, meaning appointed, begat Enos, or Enosh, meaning man as frail, weak, or miserable, when he was 105 years old. Seth had other sons and daughters, and died at 912 years. And so the story of life continues through Canaan, same name as Cain, begotten, possession. Mahalaleel, praise of God, Jared, descent from the root to descend or to go down. Enoch, initiated, dedicated. Methuselah, when he is dead it shall be sent, that is, the flood. Lamech, powerful, strong. And Noah, rest, comfort, because through him mankind would survive. Of this line came the Lord Jesus Christ through his mother Mary, as we know from Luke 3, verse 36 to 38. The genealogy recorded in Luke's Gospel does not say that it is the line through Mary, but it is quite different to Joseph's genealogy given in Matthew chapter 1. Though Joseph was not Jesus' actual father, God was. Because he was descended from King David, through him came the right to the throne of Israel, to Jesus Christ. Luke carefully says at the beginning of his genealogy, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, to indicate that this was not Joseph's line, but Mary's. A point confirmed when Luke completes his genealogy with the words, which was the Son of God. For Mary, before she was married, had conceived her son Jesus of God by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was only the father of her later children, mentioned in Mark 6, verse 3. We know nothing of these descendants of Adam until we come to brief comments about Enoch. So why are the names recorded at all? Because genealogies give a ring of truth to the record. This isn't made up. It's a real record of real people and links us to that far-off time when so many critical things occurred which still dramatically affect our lives and deaths today. Enoch. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and was not, for God took him. We read in Genesis 5, verse 22 to 24. So Enoch lived a year for every day of 1 year, a significantly shorter time than was expected. Why? Well, twice God says that Enoch walked with God. Now this is significant. It indicates that Enoch was spiritually head and shoulders above his contemporaries. Does this fact have anything to do with his shorter life? Undoubtedly. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, lived up to his name, which means dedicated. In his dedication to God, he preached the word to all who would listen. That preaching would not just be of forgiveness through the seed of the woman and eventual victory over sin, but must have included warnings of coming judgment upon the wicked. Hence, as we've already seen, Lamech's vow of revenge. Because the record says God took him, some have thought that Enoch did not die. After all, the Apostle Paul wrote, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God, Hebrews 11, verse 5. Nevertheless, the Genesis record says that Enoch died, and was not, when he was 365 years old. To this Paul continues in Hebrews, "These all died in faith." So we conclude that Enoch is not still alive, but was taken by God from the reach of the wicked. He was not to be killed by Lamech, following in the ways of his forefather Cain. Digression. What does to walk with God mean? Undoubtedly, Enoch was the most righteous man of his era. The wicked do not walk with God, but are without God in the world. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ." And Paul says this in Ephesians 2 verse 12 and Ephesians 4 verses 17 to 20. The Lord, through the prophet Amos, Amos chapter 3 verse 3, asks, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" No, they cannot. If we are to walk with God, then we must surrender to his will. But what is his will? It is revealed in his word, the Bible, and nowhere else. Micah, in chapter 6, verse 8, says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord desire of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." It is folly and pride that a man thinks he knows better than his Creator, who controls all things, including life itself. "The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts," that is, the day of judgment, "shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low." We read in Isaiah 2, verses 11 and 12. To walk with God is not to stand still. Walk implies movement, to go forward, to have an aim and a direction in life, a purpose. It is this that transforms an aimless and meaningless life into a stimulating, rewarding, and satisfying life, which evolution could never hope to achieve. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Psalm 1. Enoch could only walk with God if he was separate from the ways of this world. Similarly, if we're going to walk with God, we must be separate in mind and activity from this godless world. As it is written, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." The 2nd of Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. Let us not be as those who refuse to walk in his law, but walk in darkness. Let us be as those who determine, I will walk by thy truth, for blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Let our prayer be, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, so that I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. This from various Psalms and Isaiah. Enoch, because he walked with God, that is, within his law, was blessed not to see death at the hands of threatening, boastful Lamech, and will be blessed again in the resurrection. Now it is our turn to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Colossians 1 verse 10 and 2 verse 6. Methuselah to Noah. Enoch was followed by Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. We have already seen that Jude in the New Testament described Enoch as a prophet, Jude 14. This is shown by Enoch naming his son Methuselah. When he is dead, it shall be sent, or at his death the going forth, that is, of the flood. So did the flood go forth when Methuselah died? Yes, it did. We read that Methuselah lived 780 years after he begot Lamech. Lamech was 182 years old when he begat Noah. And Noah was 600 years old at the commencement of the flood. This we read in Genesis 5, 26, 28 and Genesis 7, verse 6. That makes 782 years from the birth of Lamech to Methuselah's death and the flood. His death was the sign to the people that judgment would wait no longer. Noah and his family entered his ark, and the flood swept away the violence that filled the earth. Now we know why it was that Methuselah, who died at 969 years, was the oldest man recorded in history. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. This says Peter in his first epistle, chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Many say that men have spoken about the second coming of the Lord for so long, and it's not happened, that he's just not going to come again. However, in his second epistle, Peter adds, and account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. This is the second epistle of Peter 3, verse 15. Truly, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of their fathers upon the children, unless they repent, unto the third and fourth generation. We read in Numbers 14, verse 18. How merciful is our Creator, and how fascinating his word!